You are listening to the Unnormal Paranormal Podcast and Kundalini Ahead with Lindy Baker, Life Coach, part 2 of 2.
You know, now my brain is thinking in Scottish, you know, and it's a really good way to get used to the voices in your head. Like, what's my conscience voice? You know, because you'll have a conscience in there. It says, you shouldn't do that, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you keep on masturbating, your eyes are going to cross. Kind of stuff. You know, you'll have those kind of voices in.
Hear that, James?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Hey, that's an old wives' tale person.
You'll have those voices come in, but you start recognizing, and you may start recognizing, as I did, some other people have done this, that you're actually even picking up the voices of other people in their heads. Like when I moved back, from Texas to Vegas, I was way out in North Vegas. There was nothing around, and I was cracking up about it because I said, oh, now it's really easy to know what is my voice in my head and what's the neighbor's, because all the guys from the military lived there, you know, and so you had like Hispanics and, you know, blacks and whatever. And so I'd go, you know, and maybe I hear my voice, and I go, oh, yeah, okay, so I know that's not my voice in my head. Or you hear like, yo, baby, you know, and you go, oh, okay, I know that's not the voice in my head. And I think people don't realize how much, as human beings, this phenomenal thing that God gave us, our brain, how it can, you know, it reaches outside of us, that, you know, it's going into that level of ESP, which reminds me of another thought that when you've gone through Kundalini, I really do believe that you have increased ESP, that. And you know what other people think about you? It isn't important anymore. You don't care.
Do you still listen? Like, do you still hear what they're saying about you, though?
Oh yeah, you can. If I want to feel bad about myself, I call my family. I'm the black sheep over there, you know. And even though there's nothing black about me, but but you get indifferent to it. It's almost like you consider the source, that it's almost like, you know, oh, that person is just being jealous, or that person is emotionally immature, or that person is intimidated by, you know, somebody has IQ, or, oh, that person comes from a kind of family and that's the way that they thought. You don't take it personal anymore. It's like the ego is gone. You don't take it personal anymore. It's almost like you can see that they're like acting out their own destiny or something. And so it doesn't have anything to do with you, you know, and that is one of the things that makes a couple people mad, because I'll say to them, you know, what you think of me is none of my business.
Right. But doesn't that intimidate people? For instance, okay, some people know who you are, what you do for a living. Do you ever run across people who somehow intuitively know that you're reading their minds? Maybe you're not trying to. And it intimidates them?
No, I do know. Well, there are people that they're very intimidated about the fact that that, like in the conversation, I accidentally say something to them that I should have known. That they'll go, well, how did you know that? I didn't tell you that. And I'll go, you didn't. You know, I thought you did. I thought you mentioned that a little bit ago. That's what I say to it. But no, it really is an attitude that it's kind of you get into just only taking care of yourself, focusing on yourself, what's going to move you forward. Another attitude I have about it is I don't care what you think about me, unless you're a person that's paying my rent, buying my food, you know, keeping a roof over my head, adding to my sustenance of life some way. That why would I care if you liked me or not? If you're like the guy walking down the street, how does that affect my life? It doesn't affect my life. Not unless you want to come over and punch me. Mm-hmm. So what do I care what you think of me? Only if you're running interference on my life.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that. You know, they get all caught up in, well, this girl said that, or that guy said this. Well, who cares? How does it harm you? What is, you know, what, how does it interfere with your survival? If it interferes with your survival in a real physical sense of it, then it's an issue. Otherwise, it's not. I also feel that because when you're at a higher frequency, it revitalizes your body. If you have health problems, it basically says you've got a lower frequency going, that it, because it's kind of like a high frequency cannot sustain an illness. I can't think of her name. It was Montgomery, and she's dead now. She wrote a lot of books on this. There was somebody that she channeled, and I can't think of the name of it, but she used to talk about that, or this person and she channeled would talk about it, that it was dis-ease, D-I-S-E-A-S-E, which meant that if you had an illness, it was because that, you know, that you had your frequency all screwed up, and that you'll find if you raise your frequency, you also don't get as, you don't get ill as often. And it actually slows down the aging process. Right. You know, and I think that's why we've got this whole health movement going, where they're going, you want better digestion, you know, you need more sleep, you need to get out there and exercise, because that gets your adrenaline and all the hormones going in your body, you know, and it raises your vibration. When you get adrenaline and stuff going in there, it raises your vibration. So, and I would refer to Kundalini as spiritual awakening. So it just removes ego consciousness, and I feel that. But you still you will feel very emotional when you're going through Kundalini, and even after that, you'll feel emotional, but it's different. But when you're going through it, you're going to feel very emotional, and you're going to be reacting to things that you haven't reacted to before. You're just moving to a whole different level of perspectives in life. And I'm going to tell you, Jeff, because I've been talking to you, we've been doing this show together now for a couple of years. I actually feel like your person is getting ready to go through the process of Kundalini.
It is. You go through periods where you feel like you're making a lot of progress, and then your body pulls back, your mind pulls back a little bit, and you're thinking, whoa, 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 I'm not ready for this yet. And yeah, you're one of the few people that I can speak to about this. And when you mentioned Kundalini, it had to have been for a reason. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, son of a bitch, you know, how did she know what's going on? And I attached a meaning to it. It's a growth period. It's, I think, with
accelerated growth.
Exactly. It's growing pains. It's emotional growing pains. And it can feel very uncomfortable at times. And you think, oh my God, I've got to slow down. I've got to just relax. That's why I was glad we went to Tennessee for a week. About 2 weeks ago, we were in Tennessee. That's why I was so glad to be able to just go to the mountains and relax. I knew that this wasn't over. I mean, your life has a plan.
Mm-hmm. But, and wouldn't you say too, but the biggest thing that holds you up is this, the conscience thing that says, but mommy and daddy always taught me, you know, like we were talking earlier, what's the difference between wrong and right? What's wrong to one person is right to another. That some things have multiple truths attached to them, you know. And so I think that's the biggest thing. It slows down the frequency. It slows down the spiritual awakening, the Kundalini, is because what you're doing is you're comparing what you brainwashed to believe as you were going through your childhood and all those people around you's beliefs. They make you step back because you don't want to step over this invisible line that you've been given.
One of the worst things you can do is to compare yourself to other people or go out to the internet and ask a question. Because you're going to get a ton of different answers. You can watch the videos.
Yeah, you are.
And you're going to get people who maybe their intentions are good, but they'll shame you into, how dare you think this way? Mm-hmm. I'm a man. Mm-hmm. This is what I did. And this is how life's all about pain. And it's you're going to live and die in pain.
Yeah.
And they have this old school attitude. People bring their idealized selves onto the internet. Those people don't have to live with you. Those people give their advice and then they're off they're off in Twitter land, and they're they don't have any responsibility for you. So they're going to say what they want to say.
A lot of them are fighting to hang on to those beliefs that no longer work for them.
Yeah.
They're in denial, and they're trying to say, no, you know, like this is still the rule. You know, you still got to hand wash your socks, you know, but yeah, no, cause it, yeah. So, and that's what I see too, when I see these people and they're very adamant like that. And, they're very, hysterical and angry. To me, they're trying to hold on to a truth that on an unconscious level they've realized is no longer a truth.
Somebody once asked John Wayne what John Wayne would have done. And he goes, well, are you talking to me? Or are you talking to John Wayne? He was a very humble man. That's why people love John Wayne. He's also a very complicated mm-hmm. person because he, mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't a snowflake by any means. I mean, there was some truth. What you see is what you get. But he also had the balls to admit that, you know, yeah. I don't have all the answers, and I'm not the John Wayne that you see on TV.
Also, like along with this, you might go through this thing every once in a while too, Jeff, where in part of my process, I felt like I was slipped a drug or something. Without my knowledge, because at that time there was a lot, I was working on a lot with homicide side department. So with missing children. And, so there was a lot of, those roofies and that kind of, animal tranquilizer kind of things that were used because, they could give them to these kids. And so the kid would walk around and everything like that, but they couldn't fight or scream or anything because they were on these drugs. And, that's a whole nother story though. And, there was a part of that where I was thinking, well, did somebody slip me a roofie or what? LSD, did somebody slip me LSD or
were you on a bad date?
Ecstasy. Well, it could call my marriage that.
So Indiana Jones.
Your marriage.
Yeah.
Bad
date. That was a bad date.
Folks, she was a comic. She is.
Yes, I do. I intend to do stand-up comedy here in Las Vegas, too. I just don't have my footing right now. Mm-hmm. So, but I think people going through that, too, they may feel, you know, some people, they may feel like they're having hot flashes, but at the time they're going, well, don't feel like a hot flash. I just feel like intense heat. Like if I touch my arm, it's like really hot, but it doesn't feel like it's really hot. Like inside my body doesn't feel like my arm is really hot, but touching my arm on the outside feels really hot. So it's kind of, I think in a way you feel like your whole nervous system just went on some kind of psychotic trip or something. And I think, you know, so I think it's hard to recognize when the difference between maybe Kundalini and somebody that is actually, having some kind of neurological disorder or something like that. So
that's what I like about your style, Lindy, because you're truthful about it. Some people will say, oh, absolutely, it's a Kundalini moment. You know, or absolutely it's this or that, but you'll look at it objectively, just like some of the paranormal investigators we get.
Yep.
Like the person we had on last week.
We had John Egan last week.
We had John Egan last week. And John Egan.
The devil guy.
Yeah. And John Egan said, I wonder about people who've had visitations from demons and so forth, because you have to think, is there a mental issue going on? The life coach in you looks at the person holistically or more, you know, more in depth, so you can get a good feel for what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. I also think once you're through this process of Kundalini, you really don't need drugs. You really don't need to go get drunk, because it's like I go through feelings of euphoria for no reason at all. I'll have euphoria. I'll have joy. And to me, that's why you want to be at those higher vibrations. That's why, with all these different people are teaching, you want to be grateful. You want to practice gratitude. No, you don't want to be grateful. You want to feel it. You don't want to just go. I see people and they go, oh, I am so grateful for my car. I am so grateful for my kids. No, you're not. You have to feel that in your chest where you really make it happen in your chest and your feelings, and you go, I am so grateful that I'm back at things. I am so grateful. And you take those positive feelings, and that's what will raise your vibration of love. And when you start doing that, you, after a while, it does really kick in. Even the beginning process of the Kundalini, where you'll feel euphoria for no reason. Like I can go up, I can get up and go out by the lake and I'm higher than a kite. I feel great. And so you look at these other people and you go, you see different people doing that and you go, oh, they're just like a lunatic. You know what I mean? Nobody can feel that happy. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. You can feel that happy without the stimulation of drugs, without the stimulation of coffee or anything. The human body was designed by God to feel that way as its natural state.
But you know what some people might say about that? They might think, well, that sounds like bipolar to me.
Mm-mm. I think it's different than a bipolar thing too, because bipolar is kind of manic in their frenzy. I have some clients that are bipolar. I have a best friend here that's bipolar, mm-hmm. and they're kind of their highs are sort of like a frenetic, frantic kind of. Oh man, I gotta like drink, drug, screw. You know, kind of thing where the euphoric people, it's just a more even and easily sustainable kind of thing. In fact, when I am I've gotten now that, you know, like if I'm in a happy, joyful stage and you come along and you crap on my parade, you're going to really super piss me off. Till I'm, you know, if I'm laughing and joking and everything and you come along and you want to dump something on me, that I actually get furious now, and I'm surprised at myself that I do. It's like, don't you steal my joy. Do not try to reduce me down to your negative, bad, feeling awful level. Don't you come and steal my joy. I'll teach you how to generate your own, but you don't come and do that to me. And maybe that's getting older too, where you just don't put up with the crap that you used to. You know what I mean? They say that about older people. You know, the older people, they go, you know, I got this part. You're not telling me crap. You know, I've been through all kinds of crap in my life. Crap in my life. Just get out of my way. So
this has been a great conversation about Kundalini. I didn't know if we could tackle it. My last question is this something that you can help people through, your clients, the people who you work with? Can you recognize, you can recognize it in them? And
well, absolutely. And one of the things that I do as a clairvoyant life coach is I have that ability to see like the past things that are hanging you up, you know, trying to get, like I got one gal right now, I worked with her. She had a tendency to be, you know, sad, depressed, morose, thinking life was over. At like 54 years old. And she honestly just sent me a $500 bonus check because she said, since I've been working with her in the last 2 months and I'm teaching her laser thought and that kind of stuff, she said, oh my God, my life is just so different. She's out dating now. She's, you know, she had become kind of like a hoarder, you know, so she's cleaning out her house. She just got into some kind of an exercise program. And I think that's a way that I can benefit people. I've got another gal, too, that she had a tendency to be an extreme worrywart. And right away, the first things that pop into her head are all negative. And so I've been working with her for a while. And she's going to be stepping up here to a new job. And she now has the confidence to do that. That's going to be paying her $50,000 more a year than what she's been making in a director kind of position. And before, she wouldn't have even applied for it because it's like, oh, I don't get anything I want in my life. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any. There's no sense in me even trying to get something because I'll never be chosen for it. And, you know, and of course, that kind of thinking is ingrained in us by the people that we grew up with. I've got one person that they are always obsessing over their money. I mean, obsessing. They make over $400,000 a year, and they're always obsessing over how's my money? What about my money? And so they've got plenty of money coming in. Everything's going really great. And they started with the succession thing again. And I said, okay, let's have a conversation about how was your dad? Because the dad's, you know, still alive. And so she goes, oh, yeah, he obsesses like that. So where do you think you got your obsessing over that? Obsessing over money, obsessing over every nickel. Where do you think you learned that? You didn't just, you weren't born with that. Oh, see. And so I think that that's what I'm really good at. That I think that's why I've got clients that have been with me. One of the gals called me the other day. She said, you realize I've been talking to you for 18 years. I have, you know, another guy from outside the country has been talking to me for about 20 years. And I think one of the things that I do is I can see the things for you you can't always see for yourself. I'm also really good remembering things about you. So maybe you come and you say, blah, blah, blah. And I could say, yeah, but do you remember when you were going through that thing with that manager that you had and how she was always dealing with this? And so how you learned to rephrase what you were saying in a different kind of way so that she could understand what you're saying in a different way. And so I can remind them of times that they got through and how they got through it. And I can teach them, you know, new ways to think about that. I've had people, because of my ability, that maybe I saw, you know, they were molested as a kid and they couldn't tell anybody that. And so they were molested, and that was interfering with all of their relationships with the opposite sex, that they walked around wondering if they were homosexual or not, wondering if they were gay. And they didn't think that they were, but they just didn't know. And they couldn't really, they really weren't at a point where they felt like that they could go to a psychologist and go, hey, you know, I was molested as a kid because the, you know, because there's this machismo, you know, attached to that kind of stuff. So I just think there's an endless series of possibilities with my capabilities. And like I said, too, since I did go through this process as a Kundalini, I did go process of karmic dissipation. If I don't have the answer, I ask my higher conscious and it comes out, you know, like witch hazel. It'll just like, you know, pop in there. Yeah. So, and I think, again, people feel like, you all, there's something wrong with being psychic, you know, it's hokey, it's in the Bible. No, it's not. It's not in the Bible. Go read the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's all good stuff. They're all talking to angels. That God gave you a brain and it has tremendous capabilities. It is your survival instinct. And every single person on this face of the earth has psychic ability. Whether you want to open up to it or not and practice it and allow it to enhance your life, that's totally your choice.
I do remember the time that I followed your advice about becoming psychic, and I did it at work one time as an exercise where you clear your mind and you had this focused inattention. Mm-hmm. And I heard this Jeff from behind my shoulder, and I looked back and there was nobody there. All the 9-to-5ers had left. Blew my mind. The screen went pink.
Yeah, because I put a little string over my camera so nobody could go peek on me when I'm naked.
Should we turn our video feed off?
We were winding up, so I put my pink.
Okay.
So I put my pink back up there. I had somebody.
You know, we've had you on the show well enough. We, you know.
Yeah. I had somebody that happened to that she wore wigs because she had female balding thing. And she was on this conference with a bunch of other people. She sold software, medical software, and she didn't realize that she forgot to cover her camera. Mm. And so she was sitting there with no makeup on and her wig on, and she couldn't understand why different people, like people were fluttering papers and acting all weird.
Wow.
And then, and then one of her friends at work texted her and went, oh, I almost said her name, but cover your camera.
That's funny.
It wasn't for her. I don't think she ever went into another WebEx meeting.
Wow.
Again, with the same attitude. Anyway, yeah, I got all kinds of crazy, funny stories. When you talk to as many people as I do, for the last, I've been in business 35 years, so I've been talking to people about their problems and helping them for the last 35 years. When you talk to, say, anywhere from 30 to 40 people in a week sometimes, that you learn a lot of information. You learn a lot about human behavior. You learn a lot about people. And I love people for the most part.
Yeah, people are fascinating.
Yeah,
so. Doubt about it.
Even you, James.
I'm about as fascinating as a hot pocket.
I gotta pick on James.
Yeah, James, why aren't you drinking your moonshine? Did you drink any of that moonshine that I got you?
I finished really? Half one of those jars. Man,
I brought some moonshine back home from Tennessee, and I know that James has some moonshiners in the family tree.
Yes, I do.
So he would appreciate it.
That'll burn the hair off your chest and your scrotum.
Burn it off and throw it
back. I'm keeping that on.
Go ahead. No, that stuff was potent. I'm sure it was moonshine vodka.
I want people to know, you know, like I'm a human being too. And that, you know, that's one of the things that bothers me. Here I go on one of my tangents. But these people that set themselves up to be like that, to be psychic, you have to be so spiritual and you have to be like, you know, like this holy good spirit. What a crock. Be real. You're going to be more spiritual and more psychic if you just be you. Just be real.
We say spirituality is being in touch with the world around you, people around you, how you affect, how the energy you put out and such and so forth. So, I mean, how can you really be your most psychic if you're not in touch with the people around you? If you're not able to be in touch with the people around you.
Yeah, because who's that other psychic that we get on from time to time? Chris. Yeah, it's funny when Chris and his partner, Jay, yell at each other. I mean, they're just being themselves.
Yeah, but they're so organic. I mean, and Chris Medina evidently started a podcast, In Your Head with Chris Medina. I just found out earlier, so when I get home tonight, I'm going to have to give it a listen.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, like there's some of them out there. Her initials are and
I can't even hear what she was mumbling to try and cover
well,
it up.
Well, no, she was just concealing her identity.
Yeah, she's one of the people that she just kind of sets herself up. You know, it's like very, very holy and basically kind of like unapproachable. You know, not human. And I know there's a lot of people that go to her and they spend that $400 or $500 for a half hour. I don't need to charge that kind of money. I'm here to help people. So, you know, and I don't need to, I don't, I'm a real psychic. I'm a real person. I'm going to teach you how to live your life as a real person. So anyway.
Very good. Well, but, Lindy, it's been a great episode. Let me tell you.
I hope all your listeners think it's a great episode and that they contact me. You know, I did have a very famous movie star listen to the Unnormal Pornographic.
Pornographic. If you hadn't put that sheet over your camera, it could very well have been. I guess you're not allowed to say their name or.
Yeah, well, I kind of avoid that because one of the things that I offer people is their privacy. Confidentiality. Well,
tell us after we stop recording.
Yeah, well, I will. Jeff already knows who I'm talking to. He has a movie out about a shark right now. But anyway, so he listened to the Unnormal.
Oh, man, I'm dying. I got to find out who it is.
So turn off the microphone. Wait, we
should. And he thought I was very interesting. So he tracked me down by my name on Facebook. And then he started texting me on Facebook. And then finally, he gave me his number and all that. And so we had some really great conversations. So,
him? That guy?
We got to get you both on together sometime.
That guy of all guys.
He would never do that. He would never do that, I don't think. Yeah, I think about 4 months ago, he got in touch with me again. And I said, oh, my God, you know. And he said, no, because you, like, crack me up. You come up with all this stuff, you know. And he just cracked me up. So he's not a client; he's a friend. But I have other famous
people
that I've spoken to. Dennis Quaid and his wife talked to me a lot of times.
I miss Dennis Quaid.
Well, why don't you?
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Dennis Hopper.
No, Dennis Hopper's dead.
Say, yeah, Dennis Hopper Quaid, passed. Yeah, Dennis. I think Dennis Quaid just had another movie out too.
No disrespect.
He divorced from Kimberly, and he's got like a real young girlfriend now too. He's like Dennis. I think is like 62 or something. I think he's April 7th. I don't remember what year. And he's got like a real young girlfriend now. But yeah. So, and you know, that's one of the things I was going to say too, when you were talking about John Wayne, when you're watching the different celebrity kind of things and these people come off as hard asses and this and that, to me, the celebrities that I've met had one thing in common. They just treated you very down to earth. Like they were on the same level as what you were on. Come on, you know, here's my masseuse person. Like, you know, why don't you get a massage while you're here? You know, kind of stuff. They're just not pretentious whatsoever. They make everybody feel important. They make everybody feel like they like them. And to me, that's the secret to long-term success. Yeah, and one of my most recent comedy jokes that pissed my family off is I said, you know, dementia is a really terrible thing. You know, it really is. And my mom has dementia. But it's kind of like a good thing for me because now she forgets how much she hated me.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Because now she goes, oh, it's so good to hear from you. And I kind of go, Mom, it's, it's Lindy. So, I was a black sheep. You know what I mean? Out of 13 kids, I'm like the psychic one.
Well...
Yeah. So what am I going to say? Okay, guys. Well, I'm going to let you go.
Well, let's.
Well, James has got to do his spiel. He's got to do his end of show spiel. And it's bad luck for anybody to hang up before he does it. Okay?
Jeff
is very superstitious. Maybe we can talk for a couple minutes after we finish recording. Because I want to hear who you got to listen to the show.
The shark guy.
The shark guy. I have a theory about who the shark guy is, but I don't.
He's not short.
The shark guy.
Oh, shark guy. Oh,
yeah, okay. If we're protecting, yeah, right. If we're protecting.
Hang up. All right, yeah, we hang up, yeah.
Okay, so, this has been the show. I want to remind anybody that all of our episodes are hosted at www.unnormalparanormal.com. You can follow us on Twitter at UnnormalPara. You can follow us on Facebook at the Unnormal Paranormal Community page. And if you have any questions, comments, stories of your own, or if you'd like a recommend. Like to rectomend, right?
Rectomend?
Rectomend. Because everybody's got anal fissures now. If you'd like to recommend a guest to us, send us an email at anormalparanormal@gmail.com. And that's been the show.
Awesome. Oh, you guys. Love you guys.
Love you too, Lindy.
Good night, everybody.
Hope to have you out here soon for a little party.
Absolutely.
Bye, everybody. We should go to Vegas. Love you.
Okay.
We should love go to Vegas. Bye.
And that's a wrap. Hopefully tonight's topic, Kundalini, provides some additional perspective on issues that you may have gone through yourself. However, self-diagnosis can be misleading, so if you think that you need more information, feel free to reach out to Lindy Baker herself by going to her website, lindybaker.com. Stay tuned in the weeks ahead as we speak to Navy veteran and author of Erasing the Liberty, David Geharry. And so, until next time, good night.